Hello, everybody. I am Mel Barrett.
I just got caught yawning. I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
Welcome to Something's Off, where we try to stay awake to talk about true crime. Mm-hmm. Rebecca is back and looking tan and rested and lovely. And how are you doing? How did you get caught up on sleep? Are you rested? What's going on?
I need a little more sleep. And it's not because I didn't catch up. I just got a horrible night's sleep last night. But are we going to run the theme song or what?
Yeah, in a second.
Oh, okay. No, I'm good. I'm excited to see you and talk to you. I got some lighting set up here so that I could use this studio up here today until we figure out our internet issues downstairs, make it a little better. But yeah, I'm really excited. I was excited to pop on to the live when I was on vacation.
I really appreciated that. I was glad we got to share that. But on the other side of the break, we are going to be talking about just a little briefly about Kelsey Fitzsimmons. I did a 3+ hour long recap, pre-trial and post-trial. So there's 6 hours of recapping.
You've got some stamina, girl.
I'm exhausted. I'm losing my voice. I'm trying to build the pod out in the garage, all this. We're also going to talk about the interview Kelsey did last night with Turtle Boy and a couple of other little small things from the Karen Reed universe. And then we'll probably go off on some tangents and we'll do that after.
We don't do that.
We listen to our rock and roll song. Ready?
Go. Yes. Hi.
Wow. Well, lots of people in the chat already. Hello,
I know.
Everybody.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I had to burp. I'm glad that happened while the music was playing because I'm drinking Diet Coke and
I would never judge. I'm drinking water out of a wine glass. So just don't think I'm an alcoholic over here.
Okay. Let's see. Who's in the chat today? Jen. Hi. Kitty. Emily C. Becky. Cinnamon. Luna. Cuff You. Hello, everybody. Doonies. It's my favorite. Cindy Lou, how's everyone? I'm so glad you guys are all here. And I'm glad that Rebecca is back because literally last week there was the first day of the trial. I think I did a 7.5 hour stream and I took a lunch break, obviously, but every day at the end of the day, I could barely talk. I don't know how Melanie Little does it. I don't know how.
She takes a lot of breaks, but also it's her only thing that she's doing.
Right.
And she's got stamina. Like she's been doing it for a long time. She's built up stamina.
Yeah. It was good though. I really enjoyed like hanging out and talking to the audience and reacting in real time to what was going on. I also found that when I'm watching it, when I'm watching the trial and talking along with the audience, I'm actually like absorbing it better.
You're more engaged with the content.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Mm. So how were you engaged with the beach?
Oh, I was fine. The weather was not, I mean, the weather was fine, but it wasn't great. Like it was a little bit windy. So I was in the beach some, but like, we had a couple of really nice days, but it was great. I really like when I thought the verdict was coming, Kevin and I were like changing our clothes or whatever. And I was like, the verdict's about, should I hop on? He's like, hop on. But I think he only did it so he could play that prank on me. So.
Yeah, exactly. The porn prank. Mm-hmm. Nice, Kevin. Nice. Real classy, Kevin. Did you see the, on our Facebook group, the post that somebody put up for Kevin?
No. What does it say?
Okay. Well, I've got to put it on the screen. Okay. Hold on a second. I will show you in just a
Kevin's
moment.
Is it Kevin's honor?
It's something that you might want to purchase for Kevin.
Oh, okay.
And I think you should, honestly. Now I got to find it. You keep talking.
Okay.
Something keep talking, Rebecca.
Purchase for Kevin.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Okay. No, that's totally fine. Oh, our token. Look at this. Our token non-liberal friend is here. Hello, chicken lady. It is nice to see you. Chicken lady, if you're a chicken person, you would love Grand Cayman, island of chickens. We had like 10 wild chickens just in the house we were staying at. There's wild chickens everywhere and babies. It was really cute.
Oh, yeah. You kept sending me pictures of that chicken that really wanted to like climb inside your womb.
Somebody wanted to point out that there may have been a court date today between Aiden and Meredith. He's not litigating that publicly, and I'm going to respect that and not litigate it publicly either, except to say that she's a little piece of work.
There you go.
Cleavage forgot. Oh, Kevin would love that.
Yeah, we need to get this for Kevin. It's called moonies.co.
I don't know if, like, this is for gay dudes, right? This is the kind of bathing suits. Like, all my fit gay friends, shit like this. I mean, whenever you see a straight man wearing something like this, he's like 70 and no one wants to see that.
Well, I think Kevin should get a pair of these, and I really like the color on this guy.
Yeah, so. I don't think that's real. It looks like it was.
It's like an AI
graphic. I'll have to show it to Kevin later and see if he wants it.
Hilarious! I love it. Cleavage for boys. Yeah. So let's see, what else do we have going on? I put out a new code for the merch store. I also put out a bunch of new merch today.
You put out a new album. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I got to put out a new album. I dropped a track today. It's called Whack Job.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I put out some new stuff on the merch store. That's all Whack Job stuff. I'll try to pull it up here in a second. But there's a 5% off.
Which I did not avail myself of because I didn't know. And I also didn't get like the creator discount because I was just too lazy.
I was like, Rebecca, what are you doing? I ordered something. I'm like, why would you order this? Why would you do that?
Because I want the shirt.
I know. I want the shirt. I want it now.
I want it now.
I want it now, daddy.
Daddy.
Oh, thanks for gifting 5 memberships, Cassie, baby.
So nice.
So here, I just wanted to show, for those of you who have not seen it, we got some new Whack Job stuff.
Nice.
And it says, Whack Job, quote unquote, Whack Job, Massachusetts State and Local Police.
Yes. I got that little t-shirt on the right there.
You got the crop shirt.
Yeah, because I'm sure I have a very short torso, so it probably won't be cropped on me.
I got the regular old, like old school cotton Hanes.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I wouldn't expect any less. I want the hoodie.
I do too. I want the hoodie.
Do they have a cropped hoodie, or is this the only style hoodie they have?
No, I think they have a cropped. I can make one for you.
I'm gonna
make a hat for Rob too, because he doesn't want a trucker hat because he said he's balding. So
we should send one of those to some fellow podcasters that they can wear it on their show and thereby be promoting our show when people ask where they got it.
We should. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I was on a crime scene the other night with our friends Mari and Sarah, and when they asked me if I had any podcast or books that I'd listened to that I wanted to promote, I told them about the episode you did for Infamous about Karen Reed.
Oh, where I called Higgins a DEA agent instead of
it. Yeah, I was like, as I was listening to it, I was like, Rebecca!
I know, it's like so fucking ATF. Stupid. I actually told her, and she was like, you can retract it and send it. I was like, or you can just cut it. I don't care. I just wanted to let you know that if you get emails about this, I did make the stupid mistake. I didn't have any notes or anything. I did the whole thing from memory, and I think that's the only mistake I made, though, so I feel pretty good about that.
No, everything else was fine. It was the only time where I was like, oh, because I couldn't say anything like in the moment. I'm so used to doing this with you live now. And you said it a couple times and I'm like, she's going to get mad at herself when she hears this.
I didn't get mad at myself. I'm like, whatever. I know people will like say that I don't know anything and the whole thing is bullshit. But also, who I'm speaking to are the many, many thousands of people who know nothing about this. And like when I got on, I've known Vanessa for a long time. Vanessa was like, you don't think she didn't do it, right? I was like, she 100% didn't do it. And she was like, what? Wow. Yeah. So
that's an odd question.
Well, if people who don't know a lot about it think that she did it, but it was an accident, that's what they think. Mm. That's what I thought back in April of 2024, March of 2024 or whatever.
I don't think I ever thought that.
That's because you believe everybody's innocent.
No, I do not believe everybody's
or
innocent.
Or shouldn't be convicted, even though they seem very guilty.
I literally couldn't fathom somebody backing up their car.
Even by accident?
Injuries. No, not with the injuries he had. The dog bite injuries.
But people don't know about the injuries when they first hear about it. They don't know. They don't know anything. They just know that it's either that or a cover-up, and no one is like likely to believe the cover-up until they start seeing the cover-up shit. Like, so...
Okay. Anyway. Well, I'm just telling you, I never thought he was hit by a car.
Oh, never, la-dee-da.
Ever. Never, ever. Ever, ever.
I thought when I first heard about this and read the first articles, like that I was reading, when I first, like, this was literally like February or March of 2024. I was like, The people in the house are shady as fuck, but it's probably because they had a mountain of cocaine on their coffee table.
Which, by the way, didn't want anyone to know that they were
swingers. May still be true. Not saying it isn't.
Don't forget the voodoo dolls.
It's just my opinion. Yes, voodoo dolls. Do you like the sweater, by the way? This is my son's sweater from high school.
Aw.
I've been raiding his old clothes.
Love it.
I've been moving my clothes up into this boy's closets because they don't live here anymore, and I have so many clothes and no fucking closet space. And then I found some of his stuff, and I was like, ooh.
I'm building this pod out in the garage, and then I'm like, but Easton's going to go to college in like less than a year, like in a year, and I could just take over her room.
Right, but wouldn't it be fun to have a pod in the meantime?
I have a pod. Yeah. It's almost built. I have a ceiling. I have everything going right now. I've got like... I'm getting ready to put all the soundproofing in. I've got a desk in there. I'm getting ready to go.
Amanda, you can just put the phone in your pocket and listen to us. It's a fine. Just FYI.
Wait, I just wanted to make sure that we recognize Virginia Mike Cryford was just about to purchase
vagina,
a membership.
Mike Cryford.
Virginia.
There's no
vagina.
R,
vagina. But there's no A either.
I know. It's misspelled, but I think that we know what we're talking
vagina,
about.
Vagina. This is what you wanted us to do. You wanted us to say Vagina Mike Cryford was about to get a membership, and then they got gifted one, and so they gave us $5 anyway, and so thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't understand. They think that you're still in the shower stall. You're not. That's just her room.
No, that's my room.
Someone wants to know, what are we looking at here? You seem to be in a bedroom. Both of your windows seem to be in your stall shower thingy. No, it's just her room. I think that person's kidding.
No, it's just my room. Yeah, that's rumpled foreskin. And I think they made that name just because they wanted me to say it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing sexier than a foreskin.
Rumpled foreskin.
I just keep thinking of those ladies saying that they were being sexually humiliated by being called
a
foreskin.
Oh my God. They did an entire, I saw this on Twitter, I think it was yesterday. They did an entire stream about how awful everyone on the Free Karen Reed side is because they make fun of other people and they call other people names and they body shame. And then they spent the entire spaces doing just that.
Dude,
to other
they
people.
They were fucking making fun of my teeth. Like they have
the
so much
cognitive dissonance. I can't get over it.
Speaking of which, you know what I haven't looked at in a really long time? I haven't looked at the Give, Send, Go in a really long time.
Oh.
Let's do that. Let's just do a check-in, shall we?
Sure, let's do that. Cindy Lou said, hope you took before pics, Mel, so we can see the transformation of your shed. I didn't take before pics because there really were no before pics because I built it from the ground up. So it's in the garage. But I'll show you guys.
Did you take, did you document doing, because that would be a fucking great Facebook, that would be a great YouTube video is how I built my podcast to you.
I don't have the friggin' patience for that. I don't know how people do it, honestly. The amount of times where I've driven a nail into my finger or almost cut my leg off or my hands are just ripped apart and I'm just yelling fuck all the time. I don't think that would be very good content.
I think it'd be great content.
Ugh, I just don't. And also I don't have the patience. I'm I'm focused on something and I can't imagine also having a camera rolling because I just look like a sweaty sawdust covered mess and I'm menopausal and I just don't think it would be a great look. Honestly.
All right. Speaking of menopausal, would you like to dive into some defending the truth comments?
Oh, please testify. Rebecca, testify.
Okay. Jen G110 gave $250 2 days ago and says,
they did.
So sorry for and absolutely appalled by what the witnesses have endured. Respect and admiration for the women of the forensic room in their advocacy and representation of you. Mary Willen gave $100 a day ago and says, I've given anonymously before in fear of retaliation of the mob. My heart goes out to the witnesses. Nobody cares about you, Mary. Literally nobody. let's see. Thank you, Glamma Booze. I think that's another anti-Carrie person.
Oh, Glamma.
For the reminder,
she's awful.
About how expensive forensic analysis can be. Oh, yeah, that's right, because they're going to have to pay for the phone stuff now.
Good.
We know about that, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they're going to have to pay for Karen's phone extraction now. Townie, 100. Lisa and Steve, 500. Defending the truth, $1,000 to defending the truth.
Stop it. Stop. They're
just
recycling.
You have more friends than you know, a.k.a. yourself.
you are just recycling. They're recycling donations, right? They're recycling.
That would be a libelous thing to say.
Allegedly.
To accuse them of. but I would not be surprised to learn that, because it is my opinion that that would be very easy to do on this website.
Then it's not libelous. Emily C. Oh my God. The Emily C. said the Foreskin show, they made fun of her because her son's dental procedure wasn't covered by insurance.
And go fuck themselves.
They're despicable.
I was going to try not to swear. I heard something. I heard you get downgraded if you swear.
John is going to be very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish justice for John's and peace to the brave witnesses, in capital letters, whose lives have been unjustly upended. This is from Emily McNamara. You have seen the worst, capital W, in human nature. May we serve as a drop of, all caps, hope in humanity. The tide will turn. Like, the words that she chooses to capitalize are pretty incredible.
What's the Shannon Sullivan, Mike Crawford?
Here's to defending the truth and hoping future witnesses are better protected and supported. Oh, you mean when they start their nonprofit? That's going to go to.
What's the total at right now?
It's over $20,000 or $200,000.
Okay, so here's my question: Okay, let's say they start at $50,000. Like, let's say they have $50,000.
On this PR campaign?
Right. So then they withdraw. That $50,000 number still stays the same. It's what they've raised.
What they withdraw does not count. So they can they could theoretically just, you know, redonate the money again and again under different
people's names. That's what I'm saying.
And the platform, you're not supposed to use other people. You're not supposed to use fraudulent names, but they don't care. I had to complain there are small amounts. Yes, there are small amounts of $12, $12, $12, $12. Why was it $12? What was happening 11 days ago that was $12 was somehow significant?
I don't know.
Wait, Jane, what does this mean? SWFL Strong KR Dildo, $34.
Wow. Dildo. Becky said, Emily C. Mama Llama is sending up banners at the start of anything KR, KF related. She is earning her keep. I'm sorry, but not surprised they'd sink so low. What does that mean? She's sending up banners at the start of anything.
I don't know.
KR, KF.
Anonymous giver, $200 for Higgins is the comment. Okay, here's one. You ready? Anonymous giver, $200, 12 days ago. Wow. I believe it is 17,000 in the last 4 days and over 200K in 4 months. This is called momentum that is increasing, not slowing down. I wonder why.
It sounds like I wrote these for them when I was 12.
Dude, when I have I
was
to share like, my screen.
Never sees eternity.
Can I just share my screen? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe this is not interesting, but it's interesting to me. Hold on. Share screen.
Speaking of Mama Llama, I have some stuff to talk about with her. We got cops hiding in houses at 34 Fairview and scared of TB and his lag questions. Okay. Can you even make it up?
Hold on, let me make this bigger.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Am I making that bigger? Does that look bigger to you?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, look at this one. Wow, I believe it is 17K in the last 4 days and over 200K in 4 months. This is called momentum that is increasing, not slowing down. The support for these families is huge and it is palpable. Palpable. There is a silent majority behind the scenes that is sick of the BS and want to make sure it never happens again. Yeah, I know who the silent majority is. It's a silent majority of people named McCabe or Albert. Hold on. Oh, I'll show you this other
palpable
one. Palpable. Look at this one with the weird capitalization. Hold on.
Palpable.
Hold on. Here's to the lose a hockey player. That was the bench warmer in high school. Here he still ducks. I mean, sucks. Blessings to the witnesses and the O'Keefes.
Oh my God.
I like the high dollar ones. The high dollar ones to me are the best because the high dollar ones are probably people within their inner circle. let's go. Let's keep going. For Higgins, Dan Harrington. I've seen that name here before.
Emily C. was like, I'd love to know how they're divvying up the money. Like, does Higgins get 1/5, Jen get 1/5, and Matt 1/5, or is it 1/3 per family and they're stiffing Higgy?
I don't know. I can't believe that Higgy is going in with him on this. Even if
I can't either.
Even if he thinks they didn't do it and he didn't do it, it's just still a horrible idea, except that I don't think he thinks that. Anonymous, $1,000. I finally got around to reading Karen Reed's quote, amended motion. You can just say amended motion. It's not in front of quotes. And I'm stunned. The number of claims made that are simply not true is staggering. Consider this my donation to make sure you keep standing up and keep telling the truth. Oh, $1,000 from Anonymous. This is for the kids whose lives were disrupted by the circus. Guess what? The kids are not recipients of this fund, Anonymous. You know that.
No.
$325, yeah. Anonymous. The Anonymous ones are always the best. Anonymous, $1,000. See, 12 days ago, there was a huge bump. Yeah. So when the fact that all like these big donations all come in on the same day is very that's very sus in my opinion.
Yeah. Lindsay Snow said, I think you will both enjoy that my husband and two small children now run around yelling, "You wrong.
You wrong."
In Higgy voice, because he's a decorated
raising them
dude.
Well. You're raising them well.
So speaking of these people.
Papa Bile, who dat? Thank you, Cassandra. Oh, staggering and Papa Bile. This would be a great sticker or t-shirt. Staggering Papa and Bile. Papa Bile, signed Anonymous.
Have you all seen this email? I know it probably came out a while ago. I just keep going back to it because I can't believe she's been doing this for
can you
as
make
long
it bigger?
As she has.
I'm blind.
I'm going to try. Hold on. I'm going to try to make it bigger.
I'm blind, girl. I'm blind.
No, I can't make it bigger because it's
Twitter. You're right. It may have been the fundraiser they had in Needham that made the... But you will notice, if you look at this occasionally as I do, you will notice that gifts tend to come in batches.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Peacock, I've seen you here before. Anonymous 500, Anonymous 550.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. I'm sorry. Donating because no one should have to endure years of harassment and being hunted by Karen Reed and her lunatic followers.
Jesus. The fact that they think that they're the victims is what blows my mind.
Oh, I agree with this one. Here's $500 from Anonymous. Thinking of Colin and all he has endured and missed out on because of troubled adults. I don't think you know how that reads, Anonymous.
Speaking of Colin and Mama Llama, this email was circulating on Twitter. I think it must have come from Corey's last email dump. I'm not really sure. But it's from Carrie Llama, who's mm-hmm. Mama Llama,
and she's
to
on the
Helena Rafferty.
Forensic room, right?
Yeah. It's to Helena Rafferty.
So
the subject is Rita Lombardi and Jennifer O'Donnell. Do you want to tell them who Rita Lombardi is?
Yeah, they're townies from Canton.
Yeah.
And they've been at, you know, they're like duck people, and they've all been at the meetings. They stand up during public comment. Rita is particularly mouthy, as ladies go. By the way, I only say mouthy obviously as a joke, but like women get called mouthy sometimes. So
she's spicy. So Carrie, Mama Llama, wrote to Helena Rafferty about Rita Lombardi and Jennifer O'Donnell. I'm going to read this email for you all because it's very small on the screen. It says, "Hello. I'm writing as a concerned citizen to inform..."
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. Somebody put something merchandise we need to get for you on the screen, but also feel free to make dinner for yourself and I will eat when I'm done.
Hi, Kev.
Everybody says hi. Hundreds of people say hello.
In the very first sentence, there's a typo. I just want to point that out.
Show me. I can't see it. I'm blind.
Okay, I'm going to read it as she wrote it, so you'll hear it. I am writing as a concerned citizen. Concerned citizen.
Where does she live?
I don't even know. I'm writing as a concerned citizen to inform you that Rita Lombardi and Jen O'Donnell went on a live stream last night and implied Colin Albert was the culprit who threw the bleach bombs on their yachts. It is overly evident that this was staged from the very start to blame him and his family. The accusations about bleach being thrown on their lawn was conveniently made the day after Rajura begged a judge to keep their name private because she was terrified of the Free Karen Reed mob. These harmful and dangerous behavior.
What harmful and complaining about something that happened to you is harmful and dangerous?
These harmful and dangerous behavior.
Uh-huh.
Singular. Will continue if there is no accountability for these false police reports. I am begging you to please charge these three women.
With what?
I am begging you to please charge these three women with filing a false police report and for wasting your town resources on their propaganda war.
Wow.
Both of these women have cameras on their property.
By the way, should I remove background noise to get the fan out here? Hold on. Is that better?
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Okay.
These women have been harassing and abusing the McCabe and Albert families as well as the entire town of Camp.
According to the internet, she lives in Franklin, Massachusetts.
I'm sure she does.
I'm writing as a concerned citizen of a completely different town.
These women have been harassing and abusing the McCabe and Albert families, as well as the entire town of Camp, for a year and a half, and it must stop. They, along with an unhinged blogger, are apparently running the state of Massachusetts at this point. Uh-huh. I am begging you, please hold these women accountable. Mm-hmm. I am also begging you to make a statement to the media that Colin Albert is not responsible for this. This young man's life has been absolutely destroyed by these insane people.
Why does she care so much about Colin Albert? Like, what does he have on her?
Maybe he's her dealer. I don't know.
Maybe she's got a little inappropriate, and I don't want to say that. John Leonetti, quote, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing."
Okay, so Carrie wrote that. So Carrie Lama wrote mm-hmm. that to Helena Rafferty. And then Helena Rafferty got back to her and said, "Thank you so much for reaching out. You are not the only one who did so, and not the only one who feels that this alleged mal damage did not happen. As you may know, I am..."
Wait a minute. She's what? Talking about women who live in her town. And she's saying that she's suspect of their police reports.
Yes. Feels this alleged mal damage did not happen. "As you may know, I am waiting for the results to come back from the lab as to what was contained in the balloons." This is about the bleach.
She's telling balloons. This woman about an ongoing investigation. Yeah. She's getting her random details citizen, of an ongoing investigation.
A random citizen who doesn't even live in Canton or Camp, as Carrie calls it. "As you may know, I'm waiting for the results to come back from the lab as to what was, but also, as you may know."
Right. Exactly.
"How, as you may know, how I'm waiting for the results to come back from the lab as to what was contained in the balloons. I definitely sense your frustration and outright anger, and I get it, believe me. However, based on what I have attached below, it is unlikely that we would be able to charge any person with filing a false police report, as we don't have the elements necessary."
When they haven't filed a false police report? Sorry, I'm sorry, go ahead.
"At this point in time." No, that's fine. And then she puts below her signature, like, the breakdown of who would be charged for and why, how, you know, how you charge for a false police report. And then Carrie gets back to her and says, "Thanks for responding, Chief. I so appreciate it. I'm so sorry for all you and your department have been put through."
Oh my God. So what date is, what's the date on this email?
So these are, the first email was July 27th, 2024 from Carrie.
Okay. And then so right after the trial's over? Or like during the end, at the end
2024.
Of the first trial. It was so a year before the first trial.
It was when the bleach bombs were happening.
Yeah. I remember the bleach bombs.
And then July 29th, 2024 was Helena getting back to her. And then Carrie got back to her on the 29th. I'm just like, the audacity. Yeah. And then for the chief of police to be sharing information from someone who's not.
That was the end of trial one. That was near the end of trial one. So it was right around there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I thought you were saying trial two.
No.
Oh, yeah. So like, but the idea that the chief of police is sharing information with someone who's not even a constituent, not someone who's not even in her town about the investigation. I'm just like, what are we doing here? If Helena Rafferty could so easily share information.
Real question for you.
Yeah.
Why would they send balloons that allegedly had contained bleach to a lab when you could literally go?
Well, we got to check and see. Also, smell. Anthrax. Maybe it's anthrax.
All right, I got to show you something. Sorry.
Nobody really knows what anthrax smells like, obviously.
I think Kevin Lenahan may have entered the chat.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
19 days ago, anonymous giver, $1,925. March 2016. Seems only fitting to use an Irish saying to underscore recent events. An empty sack does not stand. The outright lies, lack of integrity, and disgusting vitriol that has been exposed by the phone extractions targeting the witnesses, family, friends of John O'Keefe shows what we who support you have known all along. Empty barrels always rattle and empty sacks always collapse. That's a Plevin, right?
Oh my God, that's Plevin for sure. Yeah.
You know him with his Irish sayings.
I know,
everything,
right?
Everything relates to old-timey Irish culture with that guy.
Oh my God. All right. So yeah, this is where we are. He's her dealer, Tony. Thanks for the $5, Tony. He's her dealer. Kevin has an empty sack. I hope you're not talking about Kevin. You're talking about You're talking about Kevin Lenahan, right?
She must be talking about Lenahan.
Rebecca's like, I can tell you he does not have an empty sack.
Stop sexualizing my husband. He might overhear you.
Oh, stop it. He loves it.
He's rummaging through the freezer for peas for me.
Peas.
I love peas. I think it's peas.
All right. So we got to talk a little bit about what happened in the Kelsey Fitzsimmons. Mm-hmm. You came in for the verdict. So we talked briefly. Do you have any thoughts that maybe we missed in that short period that you were on? Do you want to talk about anything from Kelsey Fitzsimmons?
I don't, because everything I know now that I didn't know before, I learned from her interview from last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Did everybody in the chat, did you all watch the interview that Kelsey did with her attorney Bradle on Turtle Boy stream last night? Let us know in the chat.
It was a very careful, well-crafted interview that was designed to avoid her providing material that could be used against her in her civil matters, which is very smart. And Bradle was there. Bradle was there, like, making dad faces at Carney a lot of the time.
You just made that sound very educated and, like, mainstream newspaper headline. Aiden was like, what's it like to get shot?
whenever he asked that question.
He goes, did you count the bricks when you were in jail? What's it like to get shot?
Whenever he said, what's it like to get shot? I literally laughed out loud.
You just went, it was a very.
It hurt.
I don't even know. And she goes, well, it was like a fire exploding inside of my body. Yes. Thank you for asking.
I want her to be like, wasn't great, friend.
No. One of the things I learned from the interview with Aiden was that she is a superstitious person, and she was like saging everybody or doing whatever. I thought that was
hilarious. And she had her evil eye that she was rubbing on everyone's arms.
so weird.
But I did learn though that she was doing at her table the same thing we were doing as we were watching it live, which was, what does that mean? Is that good? Is that bad? Is that good? Is that bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it was bad for us. Can you imagine how horrible it was for her just sitting there trying to read into everything?
That's right.
Yeah.
What was it like being shot? One out of five stars.
Would not recommend. he was kind of giddy to be like, to have her on.
Of course he was. People have been telling him for weeks that she doesn't want him anywhere near him. And clearly that's not the case. So.
Right.
He was vindicated.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good. And I thought it was great of Bradle to be there and to, you know, it's got to be hard. You know, he's got two very different clients in Aiden and Kelsey.
Not according to Aiden. According to Aiden, they are bonded and they have a lot in common.
Brother and sister.
Hey, listen,
I can't tell if he has a crush on her.
No.
I can't tell if he has a crush on her or if he just is like, she's the female version of me in some way.
I think that, I mean, In one big respect, she is, which is that she went to jail unjustly.
Yes,
they're able to share that jail experience together. But we learned this too, that she didn't even know she'd been charged with a crime the whole time she was in the hospital.
Yeah,
so
she didn't expect to be charged with a crime either, because she knew, being a police officer, that you're not supposed to shoot somebody who is attempting to unalive themselves.
Right. Well, and she still thinks what I think, that he made a mistake and that he lied about it. And then he kept up with a lie so he wouldn't be, impeached by his own lie.
I did appreciate what she said about Houston though, when he did get that one question in before Bradle shut it down. But, it was sort of a significant moment when he was asking her about, because Houston, I don't think you saw the stream that I did, but
I saw him testify.
No, but did you see my responses to Houston? Right off the bat when Houston took the stand, I was like, oh, this guy doesn't want to be here. I was ragging on him quite a bit. And then I realized in the middle of his testimony that the reason he didn't want to be there is because he really likes Kelsey. He was her friend. He felt bad about what was happening. And what Kelsey was saying, you know, this is somebody who was a friend of hers who had been invited to her wedding, and he's up there testifying against her. And basically her response was, she said, and this is what we've been talking about, with Chief Gray and him getting sued for sexual harassment and discrimination, that Kelsey was like, it's a boys club where you have to keep the story straight. And it's that keeping that story straight is prioritized over the truth. And I thought, you know, that even it doesn't just affect the women in the unit. It also affects people like Houston who want to keep his job, want to keep his pension. But one of his friends got shot by one of his other friends. And now he's got to like toe the line, that blue line. And it's tough.
Well, he visited her in the hospital and no one else did. It takes a lot of courage to buck the system, but he has a lot at stake. I who knows whether or not he still likes her a lot. He certainly did. And she basically, she didn't drag him at all, but also she can't drag anybody. Now keep in mind, she cannot talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She can only be respectful. She has to avoid any conversation about Justin, his family, her baby, the police. Like, she can't talk about anything. I'm sure she has thoughts about our friend Katie on the phone. Keep it in your pants, Katie. But she can't talk about that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Rumble Foreskin said she basically is just like what we thought Karen Reed would be.
I don't know about that. I think Karen Reed is exactly how I thought she would be.
Where she's just like, fuck everybody.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been a lookout for herself kind of person. That's how she ended up defending herself. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure because she has a great legal team, they're like, don't fucking get involved with anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because, you know, she also has a civil case pending against her. So Kelsey has these civil matters involving family stuff. It sounds like they might also sue. So when you have civil litigation, like, for instance, after the Kelsey Fitzsimmons interview, did you watch the rest of the stream? You did because you sent a super chat.
Yeah.
So as soon as the interview was over, like he went right back to Turtle Boy brand Turtle Boy, right? And he's like shitting on everybody and whatever. And like Karen, if Karen went on that show and then he did that, like what he said after she was on would be used against her. In a way that it won't be with Kelsey Fitzsimmons because their brands aren't so intertwined as Karen's and his brand was. So, I don't blame Karen Reed for wanting to steer clear of people that she doesn't know what they're going to say before and after she's on the screen.
Right.
She is the target of very serious civil litigation, even though I don't think it's going very well. I don't blame her for that. I really don't. I never would.
No, Melissa really wanted to hear from her thoughts on Michelle Mitchell. Obviously, I did too. She cannot talk about Justin or Michelle or pretty much any of the other police officers because a lot of those people are going to testify in the probate, in the family
court. What were your thoughts on Michelle Mitchell? Let's just fill in. Let's just say what our thoughts were.
I mean, I just thought she was an asshole. Like, she was just an aggressive, argumentative witness. She was the Dever of the trial. She was a combination of Dever and the sisters from Aruba. Like the younger sister from Aruba. I can never remember her name because she was completely inconsequential to that trial.
Yeah. Well, she's the kind of woman who, I know women like this, and maybe I have been this woman in the past, but I no longer am. When they're talking to a male friend, first of all, they love having male friends mostly, right? Because like, I don't get along well with women. She's the kind of person who, when they're talking to their male friend and the male friend is like, she's crazy, she's insane, whatever, they just always believe it, always. Even though that same male friend probably says that about everybody he has ever dated.
Yep.
She's crazy. She was a whack job. She was this. So I just want to tell people in the audience, if you have a male friend, especially because men are especially like bad guys do this all the time. Mm-hmm. At least I think with women, you hear different narratives about their crazy exes. With men, you always hear the same narrative. Crazy, stalker, whack job, crazy, alcoholic, whatever. Yeah. You hear the same like 8 words over and over again. And it's like, I don't know how I keep attracting the same exact kind of crazy person. I don't know. Maybe it's because you keep using the same 8 words to describe all your ex-girlfriends who dumped you because you suck.
Right. Maybe you're the crazy one, dude.
Yeah.
But I think with Michelle, I don't know. They became friends before, it sounds like, before she started dating Justin. So I did find it pretty odd that she like went to Justin's side immediately. So it made me question, like, the thing is, you know, we've talked about this before, like the way that Karen, you know, like those the voicemails that Karen left for John, to me, those sounded kind
like
of
women
normal.
In Massachusetts.
Like I grew up around that. Hear that. I've heard that before. I understood that. In this situation, I almost get the feeling that they're probably, it may not be now, but before, Kelsey was probably a little bit unhinged at some point. But
did you hear the tapes from in their house?
Yes. Yeah.
My opinion is that she had been drinking too. Like there was a lot, it was an alcohol soaked tapes.
Yeah.
He was obviously blind drunk. She was cogent, but like, I think alcohol was a big problem in their relationship. I mean, he was also, drugs were obviously a big problem for him as well. But
that's what I'm saying. So she had just gone through, I mean, she was mid 20s at the time. So she's 29 now. So she was 28, 27-ish. She was probably 26 when she got pregnant and had just become a cop and then had postpartum and then maternity leave and all this crazy shit happening in her life. And then the next thing, you know, she's coming out of postpartum depression. She's able to drink again and they're all able to party. And so they go have this big party in Maine. And it sounds like Justin's sister, one of his sisters, not Courtney, the other one, is also a little crazy. I almost said wacky. But obviously she and Kelsey got into something. Kelsey's version of events from Maine is that she had gone to bed. Justin came like bursting into the room. Similar, I think the reason why they released the Mother's Day audio from her phone about Justin being drunk and being like, you're fucking blah, 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 you know, I think they released that specifically because it was a very similar situation to what Kelsey was describing happened in Maine, which is she had gone to bed. Justin burst into the room. They got into an argument because she wanted him to come to bed and he wanted to go do more drugs, but he was already drunk. That was what the big fight was over. And then there were other people that got involved, including his sisters, which is just insane. And
they accused her of trying to like sideswiping someone on
like
the highway.
Hit and run. Yeah. She and her brother left early. She like threw everything into a bag. She must have also thrown like, because his wallet must have been in his pants or something, because she just threw a bunch of clothes into a bag, threw it in the car. She and her brother left. They knew it was an ugly situation that wasn't going to get any better. And shortly thereafter, some of Justin's people left too. And then accused Kelsey of hitting, like sideswiping them on the highway because they were in a big black SUV.
Right.
And that was the only thing they had.
Yeah.
And that was in the police interview tapes that came out from
and
about
it almost came
Justin.
Into the trial. She almost talked about it and then was sort of led away from it in her testimony. Yeah. No, I think that was probably a bad scene. Her parents were called at like 3 a.m. Obviously, she ran into the woods. Obviously, some bad shit went down.
They're kids. They're in their mid to late 20s and they're out having a good time. You know
what
I mean?
They're alcohol soaked, which is not great.
Yeah.
But
she
has clearly been working on herself in a big way.
Yes.
And it shows in a big way. And if what we see of her now, I mean, she wasn't a different person then. I mean, she seems very cogent, very normal. karma dharma says male big black SUV don't make it racist. I just want to point out Sav Halley left the comment, the Noah Khan. He probably did. Justin probably did sway everyone after she left, but he seems like he'd be good at that. I was saying to Jimmy the other day when I was on his show that like Justin's probably gotten away with a lot because he's a little bit good looking, and Jimmy was like, you think?
I don't think
so. He's like a Mr. Potato Head where you have all the pieces, but it just ain't quite right.
Exactly. His eyes are too small.
And then I looked again.
He got beady eyes.
Not wrong. Not wrong. Do you know, you know what I learned after that? You know what Kevin told me?
What?
The original Mr. Potato Head, you just got the body parts and you're supposed to use your own potato.
Oh, I think I knew that. It was from the 70s.
It's in the 50s.
Oh, I think it also existed in the 70s because I feel like that's what... I got that for Christmas one year. It was like a potato in a box. Rumble Foreskin, thanks for the $5. The fight was about the mushrooms he hid in her car and her not wanting him to take them. Have you seen the microdots video yet? Yes, I have. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were fighting about her not wanting him to take drugs. And also, you're right, he put the mushrooms in her car, which again, okay, can we just, that just reminded me of the Corey Richens trial. Like, what is up with these men? Hold on. What is up with these men hiding their drugs in the women's luggage, in the women's car? If they get pulled over, they're fucked. Right. And that is not okay.
Nope.
That is not okay.
I agree.
Not okay. Not okay.
I agree. Jumping on the chance this person says she seems like the kind of girl who secretly resented and envied Kelsey. She jumped at that chance to turn on her. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Do you think that he's going to end up dating one of her friends?
Yes, I'm sure he already is.
I don't. That's opinion. We don't know.
No, I know that, but I'm just like, it's either one of her friends or one of his sisters. I don't know. Uh-huh. He and Courtney have those weird same beady eyes. Like she's the male, she's the female version of him.
I gotta look this up. I gotta look that. They said beady eyes. I need to look.
I'm Courtney. Right, ugh. She was another one.
I want to look at him. I want to see the beady eye situation of what that you speak of. Okay.
I'm like, there's something wrong. It almost feels like
you wrong.
So the group of kids that were hanging out at the house at 34 Fairview, right? Mm-hmm. Like Caitlin and Brian Albert Jr. And you know,
what don't was forget her name? About the lesbian
Lesbiana. What's her name? Julie Nagel.
Your people, Julie man. Nagel. Don't forget about your people.
I know. Julie Nagel and Sarah Levinson and all those kids that were at 34 Fairview. This feels like the same group of people to me that were hanging out at Justin's friend's house. 30%
more attractive though than people hanging out.
Which way? I don't agree. Which way?
I'm not favoring the Albert House people on this one.
Oh, I see. I just think they all feel like the same group of people. Like wanting to be around the kids whose parents know all the cops because you get away with more shit.
Oh yeah. It's yeah, and, exactly.
And that's why people are gravitating to Justin. And also he and his sisters and his mom, hi Rubes, they were able to get out in front of the narrative and they had the narrative for 9 months before Kelsey was ever able to tell her story. So it's like, hi Kevin. So
did
it's
he
like
sneak through with his hood on.
I did. I saw him. Why is he wearing a hood?
So he can be anonymous. Maybe that's not really Kevin. Maybe that's my boyfriend who's just pretending.
Is he wearing aviation? Oh my God.
He's feeding the dog.
He's so weird.
We have to feed our dogs in separate rooms because of, you know, because one of them, by the way, one of them always eats the other one's food anyway. But like, yeah,
did you hear about the dog fight that we had here? Ruby got bitten. Did I tell you? It was on the stream the other day. So I'm watching a neighbor's dog right now, and we've had this dog here before, and they haven't really had any problems, but it's like a big wolf dog, and Ruby's, you know, Ruby. And there was some kind of issue over the food, and Ruby's really
resource
funny.
Guarding, it's called. Resource guarding.
Yes, it is called resource guarding, Rebecca. Ruby loves food, loves food, and this other dog doesn't, so I'm like, why are you attacking my dog? You don't even like food. But Ruby got into the other dog's bowl of food because the other dog doesn't want to eat it.
Yeah.
And the wolf dog came up behind Ruby, literally grabbed her by the back of the neck. And Ruby was like, I don't give a fuck, man. And she just kept eating. The other dog was like holding her. And she was like,
is Ruby have Cushing's disease? We used to have a dog that had Cushing's disease and she was like a shark. She would literally eat anything in front of you. It was horrible.
My
dogs are pickers because they get cooked food and dry food and they'll eat their cooked food, but then they'll just pick the rest of the day at their stupid kibble.
No, when she first came to us, we adopted her from a rescue. She had been a backyard breeder dog. She didn't want to eat anything. She didn't like treats. She didn't like anything. And now she's totally food motivated. Mm. And she eats everything. She's a little vacuum, but to the point where she was getting about to get her head ripped off and she was still trying to finish the food that was in the bowl.
She's afraid this good life is going to go away. So she's eating as much of it as she can. So Amshi 26 says something Justin and Courtney still bathe together.
Yes.
This is the kind of stuff that the forensic room ladies say makes us awful when we do stuff like this, but
whatever.
It's a funny joke,
but that's what I'm saying. He's either dating her friends or he's dating one of his own sisters. I don't think there's any in between.
He's not. No, that second one, I will not abide by that. That's not a cool Mel. Uncool.
What? I mean, I see incest in their eyes.
No, I just see a group of siblings who never grew up and still live with their parents, even though they're in their 30s.
They all live with their parents still.
I know.
Ugh. Anyway, anything else stand out to you from the interview with Kelsey and Bradel?
Yes. Huge thing.
Tell me.
So apparently Martha Coakley, former district attorney of the state of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, former attorney general of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, who was on Kelsey's legal team, went over to talk to the defense to the prosecution after closing arguments and said, what are you going to ask for sentence if she's found guilty? Yep. And they said no jail time.
Yeah.
And I almost fell off my chair because I'm like, then why the fuck are we doing this? You just want to fuck with her life. That's why you're doing this.
Yes. The same way that Judge McCarthy Neiman wanted to fuck with her life by sending her back to fucking jail. The more I think about now that she's been acquitted, that judge did that to her, knowing that a grand jury refused to indict, probably not knowing at the time, but then ending up with the result that the prosecutors weren't even going to ask for jail time. Like this is a very simple case.
She either pointed the gun at him intentionally or she pointed the gun at herself and didn't.
And that's it. All it is. Yeah. And none of those crimes, she didn't deserve to be in the hospital for 53 days, go to jail from the hospital, come home, and then 3-4 days later go back to jail, especially after a grand jury chose not to indict. And eventually the prosecutors weren't even going to ask for jail time and she was acquitted. Is anything going to happen
to that judge?
To Judge McCarthy Neiman?
I don't know. Apparently they put a complaint in against her. I just want to acknowledge Sav Halley, who says, my dog has Cushing's. I've seen him try to eat a damn thumbtack.
Yeah, Ruby will literally, she tried to eat a screw the other day. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like digging it out of her mouth.
Courtney has no business parting her hair down the middle. She needs to do a side part. That's a very specific criticism, Coffee Cake 701. Very specific.
Not Courtney, but Michelle Mitchell. She was so ready to fight with Bradel that she didn't even listen to the questions. That's the thing that really pissed me off about her.
It was very, very diva of her.
Yeah, it was right off the bat. Didn't even listen to the questions. And then she was doing that weird smirk at him. When she was on direct, she was smiling and genuine and trying to, you know, like answer the questions. And then as soon as Bradel stood up, and it's like, you don't think the judge sitting next to you has seen a gazillion witnesses before and he knows what you're doing. He doesn't know what you're doing?
Does she think it's for a jury that didn't exist? By the way, Sav Halley thinks that Kevin is the Unabomber now. They were basically putting on a show for a jury that didn't exist. And Bradel said that. I said that in our live stream during the verdict. And Bradel said that he prepared a closing for a jury. Holding the gun three times is completely something you would never do at a bench trial.
Jesus.
And that he, you know, and I think the witnesses, too, were not prepared to be as measured. I mean, you know who was prepared was Kelsey. She was like one of the most prepared witnesses I've ever seen. Her tone was perfect. Her tone was perfect.
Like she was able to stand up for herself without being moment.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what it was about. She didn't even listen to the question before she answered it. And that's when she got all snippy with him and then realized, oh, I didn't hear it right. It's my fault. And then had to that's when she got all red in the face and whatever. I mean, Kelsey was prepared. She stood up for herself without being condescending. She wasn't argumentative. She was just telling her story, as opposed to Noonan, who argued, who denied certain things and then had to admit that he had said certain things on the stand. And Rebecca,
my sweater
is your sweater
not
black
and yellow. It's navy and yellow. It's vintage. Vintage Banana vintage. Republic from 2016. Someone says, Coffee Cake says, the prosecutor has no problems with Kelsey. It was the judge that, yes, I don't disagree with this, except then why prosecute a case when you don't want to? I mean, I guess they're just going to put her on probation or whatever, but like,
yeah,
it just, it, I mean, she was shot in the fucking chest.
Yeah.
And then she was in jail for a really long time.
I went back and I listened to part of the, especially the part where she was just like walking off the bench and Bradel is like yelling after her, like, I haven't been heard. Da, da, da. Just before that, she does this thing where Bradel makes an argument in that hearing. And then she's like, well, what about you, Commonwealth? What do you have to say? And Gubatosi gets up and he says, hey, you don't have to ask me because the probation officer is right here in the courtroom and we can hear from him. And she's like, I don't need to hear from him. And she like yells at him too. And it's like, something is going on here.
Jesus, and then, see you next Tuesday. That's what's going on.
Yeah. But okay. Yes. A, yes. B, who is she trying to protect in this situation and why? What's going on? Whoa.
Oh. Someone's upset. Hold on.
Wait, where did that go? Skates Days said,
you know what it is? This whole room is glass behind me. It's all like door. He can see someone else walking their dog past the house. It's a controversy.
Justin just didn't care if Kelsey got in trouble for his drugs. I kind of feel like Eric did it partially because he knew Corey wouldn't handle things correctly if he went to jail.
They're just douchebags who put their drugs in their partner's luggage.
Because they think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't think he was. Yeah, I don't think he was playing three-dimensional chess there.
Yeah.
let's see.
Oh my God.
What else from the interview stood out to you? Oh, dude, she's so fit.
She's working out,
doing push-ups in prison with a chest wound every single day.
Well, she said that she was doing that because she knew it was her only way to get out if she was healthy enough to do the breathalyzer. So
I mean,
that moment, her realizing, like in the moment during the hearing, when she leaned over to Bradel and was like, am I going back to jail? And he was like, absolutely not. No, that would be the last thing that happens. And the next thing you know, like, that was extreme. Why was there no judicial oversight in that situation? Like, why were there no other folks on the bench, on the Superior Court, who said something's wrong here?
Well,
this doesn't
we don't
seem
know
right.
That there weren't. But the outlets, I mean, they went to the place that would remedy it, which was the Supreme Judicial Court. And then the answer is she got taken off the case. It's like they're doing each other solids. But we wouldn't know if there were other judges complaining. That's not a thing we would know. Judges don't talk to the public. They don't. I just went to that conference of judges and the whole thing was about the fact that they don't talk. So
great. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
I think it was a good interview. It was nice to hear finally from Kelsey. I feel like she hasn't been able to tell her story at all. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to me because the accuser, they can get out in front of it. They can tell their story. They can get in front of the press. They can, you know, write about it online. But the person who's defending themselves has to be so careful because everything they say will be picked apart. So it's like by the time Karen got to tell her story and by the time Kelsey got to tell her story, everybody had already like moved into their camps without knowing the full picture. And so I was really happy that Kelsey testified. I was thinking, what would have happened if Karen had testified?
It would have been a shit show. That's what would have happened.
Why? Tell me what you think. Can you imagine?
All right. Hank so Brennan? I'm sure you can hear the cooking stuff. I know I have the noise suppression. I hope
it's
not
fine.
That bad.
Totally fine.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. So, Karen, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that there is some evidence that Karen Reed might be a hothead.
John, you fucking pervert! John, you're a fucking pervert!
But she is very articulate. She's very good at defending herself. I just think there are too many things that could be interpreted as contradictory. And it would hurt her way more than it hurt to point those things out about witnesses who were not on trial. Like, it would hurt her horribly if she said something that contradicted something she had said in an interview or something. Like, I'm going to tell you, she says that she said the could I have hit him thing. I've never believed she even said that. I believe she, in her mind, went there when she heard that someone said that she said that. I think she was like, well, that's not what I would have said. I would have said could I have whatever? I don't think she ever said anything like that. That's my opinion. But then she puts it on the record in an interview that she did say that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sun Moon said, I watched an interview with a retired mass judge. This is the judge I was talking about, Erskine, on Young Jerks, that was really appalled at Judge McCarthy. She wasn't assigned to that case. She just walked in and took it. Highly unusual. Yeah. I mean, she was on civil cases and then she just went over and took this case.
Have you seen the show Neighbors on HBO?
Yes. You have asked me several times and I watched an episode. Okay. Remember I said it made me feel very uneasy.
Did you watch the first episode with the beach guy?
Yes.
Okay. Beach guy. Maybe the second episode. Beach guy. Who was the guy,
I know who you're talking about.
I live to defend private property.
Yeah. Yeah.
That dude was psychotic. Yeah. That dude was a freaking psychopath. And they had their own little turtle boy in that thing too. The truth and justice guy walking around the beach with his camera. But like that guy, and that's what this judge reminds me of, like going in and being like, oh, I'm going to do that. Cause I will enjoy it. Like I want that. I want that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that there's,
oh, Emily seemed to this great observation. The smartest thing Higgy ever texted her was, you talk in riddles. She doesn't speak in the straightforward way that you need to testify. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't like the idea. Well, we talk about this all the time. Corruption within the justice system. The amount of power.
My house is going. He's fine. He's fine. Go ahead.
The amount of power that judges have, the amount of power that prosecutors have. And it's like, this is all starting to come, like, it's all rising to the top now, right? And at what point are we going to scrap the whole system and sort of start over? Or at least weed out the baddies? Like, when is there going to be some sort of accountability so that judges like McCarthy, Neiman, actually have to have some accountability to somebody, or cops have to wear body cams so that they can be held accountable or so that they can be proven right? You know, well, it's like, what are we doing?
Okay, here's what we're doing. It's called separation of powers. That's what we are supposed to be doing. And judges are supposed to, the courts are supposed to be separate. Like that's a design. It's not a bug. It's a feature in our Constitution of these United States of America. The same thing that's protecting her, please remember, it's also protecting judges who've made good decisions that you vehemently agree with, who other people would love to unseat because they made those decisions.
It's I'm talking about corruption.
I understand that. I understand that. But it's the same architecture that protects her as protects judges who are working in good faith to make decisions based on the law. So that's the thing to remember. I hate using like the bad apples reference, but that's what we're talking about here. If you create a mechanism where you could unseat her for this, that same mechanism could be used, depending on who's in power, to unseat somebody who's doing really good work as a judge. So that's the thing I think we have to remember.
But is there no oversight? Can we have like just
oversight?
Yes, there
is. That's what this, there is. The judges have their own oversight. The Supreme Court of the United States of America is actually in charge of all the judges in the country. And even they have an oversight body. Yeah. So there's actually like a judicial thing that is, but and they're the ones who make the codes of conduct, but whatever. But sanctions for judges, it's really tough because all judges have made unpopular calls. Right. And other judges are not watching the stream of this trial on Fox 25 News and being like,
this goes beyond an unpopular call in my opinion.
No, I agree. But if you heard about it and you're another judge, you probably wouldn't believe it had some nefarious intention behind it until you saw it. And how would they see it? They're not watching each other's court streams. They're just not.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I'm just talking out loud here. As far as qualified immunity goes, do you think that if we got rid of qualified immunity and cops were then sort of on the hook legally, physically, monetarily for the crimes they commit while being a police officer, or they would, I guess not crimes, but they would have to, what's the word I'm looking for? They would have to be held accountable for their actions, basically. Do you think that if we got rid of qualified immunity, that would be a good start?
Of course it would. Qualified immunity is not a great policy, in my opinion. And it basically, I mean, it's on its face designed so that cops can do their job without fear of lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
What if doctors had qualified immunity? What if drivers on the highway had qualified immunity?
Yeah. Yep. A couple of points here. Melinda said respectfully she had ex parte meetings with probation. That is not protected. Agreed.
Right. But who would know? So that came out.
Because the probation officer filed a report.
Correct. So that's going to be a filing with a court that somebody will see. And then they might be like, oh, that doesn't seem right or whatever. But they just don't scrutinize each other in that way. They might gossip a little, but they just don't scrutinize each other in that way. Like very likely. Body cams should be a federal law. I don't disagree with that.
I mean, they could be a federal law, but it would be up to the state still. And it would be up to local jurisdictions still. But wouldn't the SJC have listened to the recording of that hearing? I don't know.
They probably would have read the transcripts. Their clerks would have read the transcripts and told them what they said.
Yeah. Erskine is the judge I was talking about. Bite My Bit said, Erskine said, don't think higher judges aren't watching this because they are. I mean, I know that, but I guess, you know, progress and justice sort of move slowly. So I want something to happen now. Let's see. Not to be rude. I love when people start sentences off with that because it, not to be rude, whatever comes after the but is more than likely going to be rude, but we'll see. Not to be rude, but
with
talking
all
about
due respect.
Not to be rude, but talking about qualified immunity and total immunity is a waste of time. Won't change anytime soon and do anything to hold the corrupt judge and police accountable for KR and chaos. Well, we can still discuss it, Dallas.
Yeah. It's the power of unions.
Yeah, it is definitely. I mean, the unions are all over the shit, like all over these two cases too. Although the union stepped away from Michael Procta. Hey, let's talk a little bit about. I know we have to get going here, Mike and Kevin is cooking dinner, but let's cook. Let's talk briefly. Michael Procta responded to Karen Reed's like 137th filing.
He generally liked it. He thought it was great, right?
Procta. He's like, I didn't do that. I didn't fucking do that. I didn't hide any evidence. I didn't do that. That's basically what it said. So, not to sound racist is another one.
You know someone's going to say something racist if they say not to sound racist.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many of them. Even if Judge Karp said Judge McCarthy did everything correct, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. But yeah, so this new filing, I am so lost as to where we are in the filings. I know that there's just so many people involved. It is really difficult to keep all these filings straight.
Well, a lot of the filings are just motions to extend the amount of time I have to file something. So you can just ignore those. You don't have to pay attention to those. Not everything put out. What's that lovely guy who puts out all the links? Hold on. I'm always putting him in our thing. I want to give him credit because I use so much of his material.
All the links?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if Amanda's here or if she's still here, but everybody give a shout out to Amanda who does our chapters for us. Hugely important. Oh, Kyle Sharkey. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Kyle Sharkey puts out literally everything, even the things that are not important. Like the House defendants requested a police detail for the event in silent auction. You have to do that. If you have a group over a certain amount of people, you actually are required to hire police. There's nothing
wrong
with hiring.
Don't ask Justin. He's not paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fine.
He's not paying for it.
But Kyle Sharkey is the one I always, whenever I hear something's happened, I always look at his Twitter immediately.
Yeah.
Because he always has all the filings. So I'll just give you like the general lay of the land is right now there's just a bunch of filings to delay stuff. I need more time. Higgins needs more time. Higgins needs more time. Can you believe it? But what's happening really, the only thing that's really happened that's interesting to me is about the Michael Procter's phone extraction, which Karen has gotten with all of the rules around it for her case where the O'Keefes are suing her. Now, this is the phone extraction that was obtained by Rosemary Scapiccio in the Miles King's case. Right. Miles King case.
Scapiccio.
So Karen filed a motion asking that phone, the same exact material also be allowed for her use in her civil case versus the house defendants, the police, or a future case that she plans on filing against the police. That's what she's asking for. The other thing that happened of note is that, remember the email debacle? Karen Reed sent a reply all to an email, and the Diller, the O'Keefe's lawyer, got a copy of it, and he said it contained impeachment material. The judge has said, no, even though she made a mistake, you cannot use that to impeach her. You must destroy it. I will retain a copy under seal. So they didn't win that one. I don't think this lawsuit's going super well for them.
Not for Diller. No, it's not. No, and I think that it goes back to the observation from the first hearing they had, where everybody was in finally, and the judge, I always forget the judge in the civil case, but the judge was like, I want everybody to like curb your expectations here. These cases take a really long time. You might want to rethink what you're doing. Maybe you don't want to bring the suit.
Karen's like,
yeah, yeah. She's like, time. I got time.
I got time. I got all the time in the world.
So he, you know, like that, everything that happens in this case, especially when Diller keeps getting like whacked in the head by stupid shit. Like, I mean, this, like the email debacle, the misquoting from, you know, the audio tape.
Yes. I'm fucking dead.
Having to apologize in open court, or apologize, I'm using bunny fingers. It's not going well for him, and he's not making any money
until they make money. Oh, no, he's working on contingency.
That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah, I was just away for a week with a civil litigator. We were talking about this, and he's like, oh, yeah, he's expecting to get 33% of something, and he's going to get 33% of nothing.
Nothing. And that's why he's got to be thinking about cutting his losses and walking, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure that to some extent, they're still going to have to fork out for things like experts and stuff. Briscoe came over, by the way. He says hello.
Hi, Briscoe.
Yeah.
Well, they have 200,000 raised, so maybe they can
allegedly, not to be rude,
or 200. Oh my god! I really wish,
with all due respect,
who's the money going to? How is it being divvied up? Just like Emily C said, how is it being divvied up?
It's to start the Future Foundation to protect witnesses.
What is it going to be called? This Future Foundation,
DefendingTheTruth.org.
That's vague. What is the truth? That would be my first question to them. What is the truth, you guys? What's the truth? Karen Reed backed up, going 24 miles an hour, and she hit John with her car, and she left him there to die. And then she came back the next morning with Jen and Carrie, and they found him.
You are so good at that.
Thank you.
You are.
That's what happened. That's the truth, Rebecca. That's the truth. And everybody who says different can suck it.
Oh man. So you have to at some point get Jimmy to get you in on this reviewing old material of gossip fodder. It's so great.
What do you mean? What old material?
The Sean McDonough? I watched the Sean McDonough thing with him, and then I was on this week yesterday, and we watched an old interview that Aussie Insider and Jason Broyles did of Turtle Boy, and it was a disaster. And Aussie Insider, man, she's just ripping cigarettes on camera.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, so does Grant Smith Ellis. He's smoking the entire time he's on the feed. Yeah.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
Yep. Anyway. All right. I know you have to run. Is there anything else that we missed? Did we miss anything?
You missed one thing.
What's that?
Hold on. Oh, he ran away. I was going to make Briscoe get on camera, but he just ran away when I
asked him. Yeah, Ruby is waiting for me to give her some dinner.
Yeah, no, I don't think that we missed anything. I'm sure we missed stuff. We can just talk about it the next time we're on. And we have to talk about the Thursday timing, because I might have a conflict, but I'm going to try to move it. So,
all right. Well, I am home alone with the dogs this week because everybody's on spring break and they've left me here.
Next week, I'm home alone for the back half of the week because Kevin's going to a training for umpires. So I'll be a single lady, and maybe I'll just eat Taco Bell and we can podcast all we want.
Oh, yeah. I literally, as soon as I got back from dropping them off at the airport, like I ordered Papa John's on the way home. I feel so embarrassed
like Papa
that
John's?
I have
friends who love Papa John's.
Here's
it's
the
not
thing
for me, but
I hate Papa John, and I hate that I just gave my money to him. But I really wanted that garlic sauce. And I ordered it on the way home from the airport. And then Lindsay called me from the airport. She's like, did you just order Papa John's? They're at the door. And I was like, I do this every time you guys leave. It feeds me for like 3 or 4 days. Yeah. I don't have to think about any food. Yeah. I eat pizza for like 3 days. I go work on the pod. I go work on the podcast. I go eat pizza. I work on the pod. I work on the podcast. I clean the house. I have so many projects I have to get done this week. I have to cut and remud and repaint and fill holes in our kid's ceiling. I have to hang a bunch of pictures and mirrors. I have to steam clean all the carpets.
So lesbian stuff. Yeah, do
I have to finish the pod. Yeah, I'm going to go put my little carpenter belt on and get back to the pod after I get
I have, if anyone is in the greater Concord region, New Hampshire, and wants to see me interview Jenny Lawson, a.k.a. the Blogess, I am doing that at the Capital Center for the Arts on Wednesday at 7 on stage. Nice. And so that should be fun. I've been reading her forever. And somebody says, does anyone know how much of Kelsey's probate case we will see? We are not going to see it.
Well, but they did put out a video from the first hearing.
Sure.
It was
but
live.
It's a family court. We're probably not going to see it, but we'll get, but it's a public courtroom. You can just go to the hearing if you want.
Yeah.
Or you can get reporting from inside the courtroom from people who were there.
I'm sure that either Turtle Boy, Jess Machado, some, they're probably going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What else? Housekeeping stuff really quickly.
Oh, send Mel some Venmos and Cash Apps. That's how we pay for this, making this podcast. Pod isn't going to build itself, people.
Merch is out. Oh, you know what? Oh, you know what's new? Really new. It's just something I didn't realize we had access to. On every single one of our videos, whether it's live or, you know, after it's live and it's up on the feed, you can hype the video. Did you know you can hype a video?
I keep hearing that you can hype videos, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, Microdots has been hyped up to number 64 on like all of YouTube. So
there are some hypes.
We're in the thousands right now, but it would be awesome if you guys could hype us. And the way that you do it is you go to the comments, you swipe left on the comments says comment, swipe left, and it says hype this. You can hype 3 in one day.
Wait, I can't do that. What are you
doing?
You
can.
I don't understand.
It takes a minute.
On the
live
chat?
You got
to
do it in the app. No, not on the live chat. Go to like a video.
Oh.
So when this is over, try it. Right. It has to be done on your phone, and you have to do it literally like where the comment bar is before you click on comments. You have to swipe left.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna try to do it right now. Because if I can't do it, no one's gonna be able to do it.
Seems like everybody in the chat knows how to do it. So if you guys know how to do the hype, if you know how to hype, please hype us.
3 hypes per week, not per day.
Oh, really? Boo. Yeah. I already did my 3.
give some to us, please.
Yeah, please, if you don't mind, hype us up. That would be amazing.
And share our channel on your social media. Get people to listen to us. If you like this, you would like that. If you're on Reddit and people talk about where can I hear about blah, 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 say our names. I'm not going to promote myself on Reddit in that way unless somebody wants to talk to me. But yes, we would really appreciate you telling people about our channel. There's a lot of people here tonight. We super appreciate all of you taking time out of your busy evenings while your husbands make you dinner too.
Or you're lesbians.
Yes. While your partner is hanging photos and cleaning the carpet and doing all those lesbian things.
Cleaning the carpet. That was very gay.
You said you were cleaning the carpet.
I said I was steam cleaning the carpet.
Oh, okay.
All There's right. a difference. I appreciate you all so much. Thanks for liking, subscribing, all that stuff that you do. It helps us out a ton. And we're going to be back probably in the next couple of days. I'm sure there's some crazy stuff going on. Oh, let us know what cases you are interested in and want us to cover. Rebecca, you still have to tell us the case.
I got to tell you about the Reed case. I have it all prepped.
The Reed case?
Yes, the Reed case. That Wendy and the husband.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a Logan Clegg case now because he's the one who's back in court trying to get his conviction overturned. But yeah, it's a double shooting in Concord, New Hampshire with some real something's off vibes to it.
Sweet. All right. I can't wait to hear about that. I will give you guys a heads up for our next stream, and we will see you later. Have a good dinner. Tell Kevin I said hi.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.